Man, listen, at the end of the day, we gotta talk about shit. If you don't talk about the shit, you won't deal with the shit. You gotta cope. A lot of us cope negatively, some positively. But you gotta talk about it. And talking about it sometimes opens up the window to just get through it and realize you're not the only one. Thou must cope. Oh my gosh, I'm all over the place. What the hell? Okay, I'm so nervous. What the fuck? I think okay. This is what anxiety sounds like for me. Come on, just spit it out, girl. What the fuck? All right. Fuck it. I was recording one of my episodes, and in this particular episode that I was recording, the guest that I was recording with kind of said something that like really stuck out to me. I can't even tell you what the hell she said now, but it made me be like, okay, like I think it's time for me to be on the other side. And I was thinking like, damn, do I want to have somebody interview me? I contacted the person to interview me. She was with it. But then, I don't know, like, I was just like, you know, I don't know. Because what those that don't, for those that, okay, come on, get it together, like, calm down. For those who have never been a guest on my podcast, you wouldn't know this, but I don't prep my guests, so I don't tell them what the questions are, with the exceptions of the Who You With episodes. The Who You With episodes, that was different, but I don't tell them what the questions are, and so, like, you know, they know the topic, they come on, and it's literally, like, thrown at them, or whatever, and I try to be strategic with the questions that I use to somewhat get a certain reaction. I'm not even looking for a certain reaction, but just to get someone to open up and, you know, for quality content. And I say that in the most respectful way, how, like, not a manipulative way, but if we were talking about something deep and they just decided not to open up or not to talk about it, that shit would not be anything that anyone wanted to hear. So I ask certain questions and I try to frame them in a way that the person is comfortable, and then they'll allow someone, you know, they'll open up or whatever. And so I was thinking, and I'm like, okay, well, for my episode, I don't want to be prepped. I don't want to know the questions, because I wouldn't be doing the same thing that I do to my guests. But then I was also like, well, how do I ensure that quality content, and, you know, that it's the same type of thing, and I'm giving the same level of vulnerability of my guests? And I just felt like I didn't know if that was possible. So I was like, fuck it, I'll do the episode on my own or whatever, and just answer the same questions that I asked everyone. And it's a little nerve-wracking. It is. I'll probably get emotional. But I feel like I'm ready to speak about this. And so here goes nothing. So the first question is, what was my relationship like with the person who I lost? My relationship with this said person was a very... I don't even want to call it a love-hate relationship, because I ain't never hate him, but he used to hate me sometimes. But it was also a romantic relationship, which turned into a friendship. Damn, See, this is just so crazy because now I see how everybody else feel, and it's like you don't be wanting to say too much, but it's like, duh, you have to. To bring things into full circle, I met him in church. I met him at my grandma's church. And my grandma, she was pretty lenient with certain things. So, like at my house, I couldn't talk on the phone with boys, but my grandma didn't care. So, he would call there and we'd talk on the phone and everything. And I began to like him. Like, I began to really like him. But I really don't remember when we met versus when it was like, okay, we about to be boyfriend and girlfriend. But I do know that we met at church. And at some point, we used to be in vacation Bible school together. But I feel like we was never in the same class. We was like, our classes just used to be next to each other or something like that. But either way, he used to be, class clownish, troublemaker-ish sometimes. And so my grandma, of course, didn't like that because she was just like, I feel like you like him. Why are you going after someone that's like a troublemaker? And I ain't like that because I'm just like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, I mean, I won't say it to my grandma when I was that young, like middle school age, but it was just like, you don't know him. He's cool. I like him. You don't know the real him, yada yada yada. Which my grandma never like talked bad about him, but she was just like, this isn't the type of person that you should go after. Grandparents be wanting the best for you, but I didn't give a fuck about that because, like, the person that my grandma wanted me to like was younger than me and he went to the church too. But yuck, he just was not what I was looking for. Corny as fuck, he liked me like hell, like, biggest crush on me. And my nana was over here just trying to make it work to the point that, what am I gonna call this person that I'm talking about? Fuck it, I'm not gonna call him anything. But then I also feel like I should just say his name. I don't know. But to the point that I'ma just call him my ex. My ex kind of used to joke on me about him, like, oh yeah, I know you like that boy. I know your grandma wants you to talk to that boy, yada yada. And it used to make me so mad or whatever. But I'll never forget it because we used to get on three-way with someone else that went to the church and he could sing. And she was just like, yeah, girl, he'll sing your drawers off. And I'm like young, so it's like, oh my fucking gosh. But at the same time, it's like, I want my drawers off. I'm not trying to do that nasty stuff with a fuck or whatever. And so over time, we began to talk on the phone every night, fall asleep on the phone, yada yada, church, barely interact. But we knew what the fuck it was or whatever. And so at some point we decided to be boyfriend and girlfriend. But my grandma lives in my hometown, and so I had to go back to Raleigh at some point in time. And I remember this distinctly because it was my freshman year going to school. It was I was going to be going to high school. He was going to 10th grade. And he just was saying like how like, yeah, when you go to high school, you need to tell them niggas that you got a boyfriend, yada yada yada. And I'm just like, duh, like, I'm loyal, what you mean, yada yada yada, whatever. And he just used to be tripping, like, he just used to be tripping. So we was in a long distance relationship when I went back home. He was getting in trouble, stressing his mama out and all of that stuff. And I like remember it real good because we used to like sleep on the phone together and fall asleep. But sometimes he would fall asleep and he might like snore or something, and I would still be up, but I would like not hang up. And his mama used to come to the phone and be like, "Nadia, you still there? He sleep, baby. I'ma hang up." And I'd be like, "Okay, whatever." Or sometimes like he might be at his aunt's house. And his aunt like kind of would say the same thing, but I would just kind of act like I was asleep, so she would just hang up, stupid ass shit or whatever. But like I said, back to like me going to high school, it began to be like really, 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 really stressful, and it began to be really stressful because like we used to argue all the fucking time, and this shit is so crazy because I just look back like, nigga, this was ninth grade. What the hell? Like, this reminds me of like a now type of relationship, kind of. Hell no, not a relationship I would deal with right now, but it was kind of like some adulthood type stuff. Long distance, not seeing each other, being in a relationship, two different schools, all of that. It kind of reminded me of some college shit. And when I would get home, I would call him or he might call me. But the thing is, I used to be kind of sneaking on the phone. Kind of. I don't necessarily know if I was really sneaking though, because like it was the house phone. I ain't had no cell phone. So it wasn't nothing for them to just pick up the phone when they would hear me on the phone with him. And it ain't like he was faking, but anyways, I would like call him, he would call me, whatever the case. And it'd be like soon as we got home from school, he wanna talk all day, we talk all day, whatever. But he used to be tripping, like, who the fuck is that writing on your Facebook? Whoa, I know you talk to that nigga, all of that. And I would be like, what? You talking to so and so and so and so? Like, what are you talking about? But he was just starting mischief. Like, I can honestly say, like, that was just how he loved. He had like a toxic way of loving at that time or whatever. But through all of it, I loved him so much. And I loved him so much because he was so real and honest with me about his feelings. And I had just never experienced anything like that. And like he opened up to me about suffering from depression and anxiety and needing to be on medication and just feeling alone. Later that year, his cousin got killed. Was that later that year or earlier in that year? I believe it was later that year. His cousin got killed, cousin that he was really, really close with, and he really did not take that well. And that was like a spiral for him. And it really hurt me to see him like spiral, because he was already struggling with his mental health. And I always tried to be so supportive of him. Like, and I was kind of one of the only people at that time, as he began to get older, that was different. But I was one of the only people that could really get through to him. Like, he would listen to me. Like, if I would tell him, like, bro, don't do that shit. Like, what the hell? I would fuss at him, fuss and cuss, scream and all of this. And he would listen. And so, like, I just felt like once his cousin got killed, he just could not take it. Like, coping just, he really lost it all. Like, that was, like, his everything. That was someone that he was so close with. And that shit just fucked him up. And, like, I began to see, like, a whole change with him. Like, in the way that he would talk, he just felt like he was, like, you know, kind of on some, like, I don't have nothing to live for. I never had nothing to live for, but I definitely don't have nothing to live for now. And that shit used to make me sad. And I'm just like, what? And, like, the only hope that he really would say he had was making it, because he used to rap, he used to write, he loved Lil Snoop. He was on, like, Lil Snoop and Meek before, like, a whole bunch of people or whatever. And he was just kind of like, you know, when I make it, you can come with me and all of this stuff. But, like, by the time that all this had happened, we had kind of broke up. And I broke up with him because I couldn't take it. And I was just like, fuck this. I can get me a boyfriend that's here. All he want to do was fuss and scream anyways or whatever. Like, I'm done with this shit. But although I broke up with him, I never stopped talking to him. Like, if he would call, I would answer. He messaged me on Facebook, I'm answering. Late night, it does not matter. Like, I just love the fuck out of him. And I was willing to put up with all of his shit and all the mean shit he used to say to me. That's the only nigga ever in my life that has hung up on me and I called back. I don't give a fuck. That's some shit I do not tolerate. But he used to hang up on me, get mad, hang up, I call back. But I used to do it too. So it was not one-sided or whatever. I used to say some mean ass shit. That's just what the fuck we used to do or whatever. And he'd be like, you don't fucking love me. I'd be like, yes, the fuck I do. You don't fucking love me. And all of this stuff. And to see him like spiral downwards was kind of tough. And so like seeing him kind of stay afloat like with the music thing made me happy. But since we were no longer in a relationship, I was kind of stiff on him with certain stuff. And so me being stiff kind of in turns would seem like we would be on the phone. He'd tell me he loved me. I tell him I love him or whatever. But whenever he would say stuff like, when I make it, you can be there with me, I'd be like, I mean, as a friend. And I would kind of like reiterate that. And he would get mad. Like, what the fuck you mean? You don't want to be with me? Da, da, da. And I'm just like, no, we're not together. Like, mm-mm. Or whatever. And like, don't get me wrong, he used to have girlfriends. He definitely moved on, but I kind of think I was his soft spot. He was mine too, though, definitely. But I was very firm on not wanting to be with him again because little did he know, I felt like we just weren't good for each other. I didn't tell him that, though, until years, years down the line. Something kind of happened and caused me to tell it, which I'll talk about that in a second. But, like, at the time, I was just stiff, like, just. No, we never gonna be together, and that shit would hurt him, and it would hurt me to say it. But I'm just like, I'm not gonna lie to him because I love him, so we're never gonna be together. That's gonna be it. You're gonna have to keep me as a friend. That's gonna be that. There would be times where he called me like at his lowest point, just like wanting to risk it all, want to say fuck it all, and I would, you know, try to calm him down, comfort him, and everything. And you know, slowly over time, I became the player ass me, so I was getting boyfriends like. More than one boyfriend, not at a time, but like bouncing from nigga to nigga, talking to this nigga, da da da. So I began to kind of throw him to the wayside. I wasn't as available, which was fucked up. But it is what it is, honestly. That's really all I could say about that. But I did have a life to live. I was young. I ain't had no business being tied down like I was, like the way I was trying to be loyal to that nigga. And so, he used to talk to me about that shit. Like when I would answer, he'd be like, "Nah, you don't fuck with me because you too worried about so and so. I seen your pictures with that little nigga today. I don't give a fuck about that nigga. I'll pull up, beat that nigga ass. Like, wait, I'm gonna take a train there. I'm gonna take a bus there." All of this shit that he used to talk, or whatever. And so, fast forward, I feel like I'm doing such a terrible job, like laying down the platform of our relationship. I don't even know if I'm gonna keep this podcast. I might delete it, but whatever. Fast forward to I don't wanna talk about that. Fast forward to college. College, I went to college in my hometown. So I knew that I would see him again. And I was very nervous about it because a lot of the times I would use us not being together on distance. I would just blame that as an excuse. So I was just like, okay, like I know when I come, he's gonna want to kind of mend something. And when I first came, he came to see me. I talked to him. He was like, "You know, you better not be liking none of these niggas." Yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, "Fuck no, fuck these niggas." I was lying. I was. But then I ended up getting a boyfriend. And he found out. He called me and he flipped. He basically told me I was trifling as fuck. rightfully so. Although I never let him on, but he was like, "You know, like, you always said it was a distance. Then you get here, and this is basically how you repay me. Now you want to goddamn lollygag with that nigga. Like, who was that nigga? You better not be having sex with that nigga." Because, unlike anyone else at the time, and even my boyfriend at the time, he knew that I wasn't having sex. Everybody else didn't know. And he was just kind of like on some shit like, "You really gonna come meet this random nigga and get a cookie up to this nigga? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?" Which I felt him completely, but it was just like, "That's none of your business." And he used to threaten to like beat my boyfriend up at the time, and I've never told that nigga this to this day, but I wasn't worried because I used to threaten him back like, "Nigga, if you touch that nigga, it's gonna be a fucking problem." I wasn't really worried about them fighting or who was gonna get beat up or what, but I knew he loved me enough to not do no stupid shit. And I was like, "You better not mess with that nigga or die." He's like, "That's crazy. You taking up for this nigga. I don't know you longer. Like, after everything we've been through, you know, that's what the fuck you gonna do?" And I was just like, "Well, it is what it is. You had all these girlfriends, da da da. And then it was my time, like, to really have a boyfriend. And he really likes me, da da da, whatever." So, it would come times where we would just kind of cut each other off completely, not talk for months, then randomly see each other. But there was this one particular time. One of my listeners is who I'm about to talk about. So if you know this is you, don't text me about this shit. But there was this one particular time that someone that I was cool with was talking to him. And I flipped. I flipped. Fucking flip. I called that nigga and said the most nastiest shit because, like, she did not know that I knew him because to her, it was just a regular city nigga. Like, oh, I met him. I think they said they met at the basketball court or something, and they had been texting and stuff. But he, I don't know. I don't even know if he knew that we was cool, but I just felt like he did. And I didn't even give a fuck if he didn't know. I just felt like he was wrong. So I'm just like, who the fuck? Why the fuck are you talking to her? Well, first I call her. I'm calling him like, oh, what you doing? He was just like, oh, now you want to call me? I'm like, nah, I got, whatever. And I was like, you know, so and so. He was like, nah, who that? And I was like, bro, don't. I was like, don't fucking play with me. Like, don't lie to me. And he was like, dang, you all mad? And I'm like, yeah, because. And he was just like, yeah, I know her. And I was like, what's up with y'all? And he was like, I mean, she cool. I was like, cool, like what? Have y'all had sex? Like, what's going on with y'all? Or whatever. Because I know that's not your girlfriend. So what are you doing? And what is your intentions with her? And to be real, at that point, I was so selfish and I was so dirty because I didn't even give a fuck what the intentions were. I was not okay with it. And it was so selfish because I didn't want him. I didn't want to be his girlfriend or anything. And I was happy where I was, but I just felt like he was dirty for what he did. And it is what it is. And so, like, I had asked her about him and I'm like, where you meet him, da, da, da. But I flipped on him and he told me what he told me about he told me what he told me about their relationship. And I was just like, okay, don't fucking talk to her no more. Like, he just like, you can't control what I do. And I was just like, I swear, like, if I see you with her, if I hear about y'all talking, like, it's gonna be a problem. And he just like, oh, you crazy, da 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 da. And I'm like, no, because that's my friend, and no, like, I'm not okay with that. And to be honest, at that moment, I didn't quite understand why I was acting the way I was acting, but I kind of just blamed it on being territorial. Like, even in high school, I was always territorial. Like, I had this thing where I used to say it's like Monopoly. Like, niggas are my property. Don't fuck with my property. Don't step on my property. None of that. Like, if I had you once, I have you forever. And so it was kind of like on some shit like that. So I thought, or whatever. But, you know, that was that. Then we not talk again. And then that was like my freshman year in college. We probably stopped talking, didn't talk again till my junior year in college. My junior year, he had called me one day to let me know that he was in my dorm, and he asked me if he could come see me, and he had a girl with him or whatever that we both know or whatever. And I was just like, yeah, cool. I was like, but if you come here, like, don't be in no bullshit, like, strictly on some friendship, like, don't play with me because, you know, I'm in a relationship and I'm not willing to risk anything or anything like that. And he was just like, nigga, you know, I'm not on that type of time. Like, if I wanted to risk something or be like detrimental, destructive to your relationship, I would have been dead that. I was like, yeah, facts. So he came, we was talking, and he was just telling me about an incident he had where it really fucked him up. He believed his drugs were laced. He was struggling in his faith and everything. And for the most part, everything from like our relationship, I know he kind of always struggled in his faith because his family is pretty religious. His mother is extremely religious. I ain't gonna say extremely, like, she like super Christian, but she's a religious woman, God-fearing woman. And he used to kind of feel like it was forced for him. But after this incident that took place, he began to kind of struggle, like, on some, like, feeling like he had demons and all of this. And he was telling me about this experience and how it fucked him up, and told me he had stopped taking his medicine and his mama was trying to get him to take his medicine again, and him and his sister had fell out and he just felt like she was against him and all of this stuff. And, like, I was always very strong on, like, telling him that he needed to fuck with his family because I just know how much his family loved him. And to an extent, I'm not gonna say I was jealous. I'm getting emotional, what the fuck. I'm not gonna say I was jealous, but I really wanted him to honor that because I didn't feel like I had the same thing. And so I just kind of felt like, you know, like, if you got family, that's gonna ride for you, no matter how fucked up you can be, no matter how many problems you have, any of that, and are so strong in helping you, so invested in helping you and being there for you. Like, don't bite the hand that feeds you. And so he had told me that, and I was just telling him, like, no, like, you need to mend stuff with your sister, start arguing with your sister. You know, your sister wants the best for you. And this is his younger sister. Not youngest, but his younger sister. And he just kind of wasn't trying to hear it or whatever. And he just like, you on their side, you always on their side. And I'm like, no, like, I'm on your side, but I always want what's best for you. And if that's what they want as well, then I'm going to agree, like, period. And so, like, after that, we stopped talking again. But after that, we stopped talking again. And then I began to have some resentment, because the following year, I was very, 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 very depressed. That was like the darkest time that I've ever seen in my life. And I began to feel bad, because I felt like, you know, our relationship was kind of one-sided. I was like, you know, how can I have this person that's opened up to me about their life, told me about their mental health struggles, things that they go through, and I have not done the same? You know, like, he's told me about, you know, feeling suicidal, some things he's done, da-da-da-da, and I ain't never not once told him that I share the same feelings. And I know one thing was, he often felt alone. And so I began to have some kind of resentment, because I'm just like, well, damn, like, I'm really fucked up and fake. I done known this nigga for probably 10 years. At the time, it probably wasn't like, I don't know, but like, damn near 10 years at that time. And I've never opened up about this. And so, if I recall correctly, I had a very brief conversation with his sister. It's kind of hard to remember, because I kind of wanted to shut out these feelings. So I literally blocked them for a long time in my life. And I never was able to complete grievance therapy due to the coronavirus. I started, but I didn't complete it, so I haven't really came to terms and really processed everything. But if I can remember correctly, I had a conversation with his sister, just let her know, like, you know, like, he loves you, da da da. Because at this time, he was getting kicked out. He was in a relationship with someone, which honestly, that's not my story to tell, but he seemed happy, but he was also struggling there as well, which may or may not have had anything to do with her. That really does not matter at all. But his relationship with his family had begun to get very rocky for whatever reasons. And so, like, I was telling her, like, you know, I told him to mend y'all's relationship. But I said, I feel like I owe him something too. And I told her, like, you know, like, all of these times that he's ever opened up to me, told me how he was feeling about him being depressed, about him being suicidal, I've never, ever opened up to give him the same, you know, information and let him know that he wasn't alone. And that's so fucked up. And she was like, I think you should tell him. And I did. But honestly, when I told him, he wasn't receptive. He was just like, why are you telling me now? And I was just like, I didn't know. Because at the time, I kind of just felt like, I don't want to put any more on him than what he already has going on. Like, it was just like, you know, I don't want to be that thing to push him over the edge. He has enough battling. He has enough. He's battling himself. I don't want my problems to become his problem as well. And so I didn't know, like, the approach to take. And so when I told him and he wasn't receptive, it was kind of like a big fuck you to me. But I understood, because it's like, after all of these years, it's what you want to tell me or whatever. And at that time that I did tell him, me and my ex at that time, that I was dating in college, had just broken up not too long after. So he was just like, you only coming to me because you ain't got no boyfriend. That's all that is. Like, now you want to come tell me all this shit or whatever. Like, nah, nigga, like, don't come talk to me now. And I was like, no, because if that was why I was coming to you, I would be coming to you begging for a relationship. But that's not what I want. I'm coming to you as a friend. And I want to say around that time too, him and his girlfriend at the time had broken up. They didn't break up for long, but they had broken up. And so we had our little friendship going on when we would talk. And then March of 2018. March of 2018, we got in an argument. It was over some little ass shit, but it just wouldn't be us if we didn't argue. And we were talking about our relationship from when I was in fucking ninth grade and he was in 10th grade. Like, at this point, when I was like, I was probably 22 turning 23 and he was 23 turning 24. And we're talking about some shit that happened when we were in ninth and 10th grade. And he was just like, you used to be being disrespectful. You say I was disrespectful. You used to hang up on me and all that stupid ass shit. Da, 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 da. You ain't really love me. And I'm like, bro, I always fucking love you. Like, stop throwing that shit in my face. Because at this point, we adults, so we can have a full-fledged ass convo. And I'm like, stop throwing that shit in my face. Like, there is nothing I can do to prove that I fucking love you. Like, I don't give a fuck if you're asking for a relationship. I told you I don't want that with you. I told you I don't think we're good for each other at this point. So you're not going to throw that in my face and manipulate me into feeling bad. I'm not going for that or whatever. And the argument turned into him being like, all them times you used to hang up on me or whatever. And I was like, you used to hang up on me too. And I was like, and I ain't never had a nigga hang up on me. And I called back except for you, because that shit is fucking disrespectful. And I would never do that shit again. And he was just like, yes, the fuck you will. Because I'm finna hang up on your ass now. And I'm like, I swear, don't hang up on me. Because you hang up on me, you won't talk to me again. And he was just like, nigga, you saying all that shit, I don't give a fuck. It ain't like you fuck with me anyways, nigga. You gonna call me back? And I said, if you call me back, I might answer. And then we'll have something to talk about then, because you disrespectful. But if you hang up on me, we will not talk again. Like, because I'm not gonna call you back. And child, he hung up on me. I was furious. I remember it because I was sitting on the edge of my bed. I was doing my hair in the mirror. He hung up on me. I looked at that damn phone and I'm like, I know the fuck this nigga did. And I sure enough did not call him back. And so Viking Fest was the following month, which is April. And it was probably the second week of April, and I was like, dang, I'm gonna be in town, I should call him and let him know. But I was like, nope, because that nigga hung up on me and he shouldn't hung up on me. I don't give a fuck. He want to be mean, he want to be rude. That's what that's gonna be. And so Viking Fest came, I came into town, I didn't run into him, I didn't contact him. That's what that was. And 2 weeks later, I was home and I was in my room, and I probably was like looking for jobs or something, and my mom and my dad were like sitting in the loft area, and they were just like, yeah, you know, so-and-so died. And I literally felt like my fucking heart shattered into pieces and dropped on the ground. Like, I'm like, what? And they were like, yeah. I didn't want to tell you. I thought you knew. And I felt so betrayed, so fucked up, because it's like, okay, I didn't know. I'm not immediate family. I didn't expect to get a phone call, but why the fuck did you feel like this was the way to tell me? And they were like, yeah, your nana told me earlier today, and she ain't want to tell you. And so then I was just like, why wouldn't she tell me? Like, and at that point, I started to resent her, because I'm like, you knew the relationship we had, and you didn't even want to tell me some shit like this. And I just sit to hear it just coming out the room, cause they talking, just like lollygagging. Although, like, my parents didn't really know the nature of our relationship, and, you know, they probably never will unless they listen to this, but my nana did. And so that really hurt me. Although, like, now I can say I know she probably just didn't want to break that news to me or whatever. But, that shit hurt. And so I went in my room. I cried. I ain't know what to believe. I was like, I don't believe that shit. How did it happen? How did I? They said it was a car accident. And I'm just like, I don't believe it. I'm going to go to Facebook. I go to Facebook. You know how that is when somebody passes you on Facebook. RIP, I miss you. I was just talking to you. Da 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 da. And instantly, I got this terrible feeling, because I had just felt like, I just felt like I was just in the area like 2 weeks ago, and I had the opportunity to talk to him, to see him, and I let my pride get in the way over a stupid ass conversation. And I ain't even see this nigga, and that could have been our last time talking. But instead, our last time having a conversation was a fucked up conversation. Like, and it was really hard for me to forgive myself for that. I honestly don't know if I have, like, now that I'm thinking about it now. And I'm sorry if y'all can't understand me, but I was fucked up. I was so fucked up. I ain't eat for some days. I ain't want to talk to nobody. I just felt so hurt. And, you know, I had a hard time grieving. I'm still grieving, but I don't feel like I had the support I needed to cope. At that point, I literally needed the counseling. I was talking to his sister, which was helpful, to like share feelings back and forth. Of course, not when it was extremely fresh. I sent my condolences and kind of gave her time. And at the funeral, I talked to her. And at the funeral, I had a hard time, because I wanted to go, because I had to. I just felt like I had to, but I struggled with going, because I kind of felt like how he felt. I'll never forget when his cousin was killed, he didn't go to the funeral, and I fussed at him for it, and he was just like, you don't know how to fucking feel. I don't want that to be my last memory. I can't see that. And I kind of felt the same way, but I was just like, you know what, I gotta go, because this is not a moment I'll be able to get back. And shit, y'all, I got a lump in my throat, but I'm like, this is not a moment I'll be able to get back. And I can't have given him hell over the same thing that I'm gonna do, so I owe it to him. And it was very emotional for me. This is gonna sound crazy, but I like funerals. They're not a rejoiceful moment for me, but it does give me the closure that I need. And I knew I needed to go in order to let go, because in my heart of hearts, I didn't believe he was dead, and won't nothing gonna convince me until I saw him. And so at the funeral, I was all right, but when it came time to like leave to go to like the gravesite, the cemetery, and in the church, the way it was the whole funeral. I can't really remember, but I think the whole time of the funeral, his casket was closed. And then they will the casket out first, and the hallway that you would go through to leave the church was where he was. He was right by the door. That's where they opened the casket, you know, you could walk by. So like, to an extent, you had to walk by him. But I mean, of course, if you didn't want to see him, you could have not seen him. And so it was our time to leave. And I showed my ass. The closer I got to him, I just felt this overwhelming, like, dreadful ass energy. Like, I don't know how I felt. I kind of wanted to jump in the casket. I kind of wanted to knock the casket over. Like, I kind of wanted to shake him. I kind of wanted to run away. Like, and I don't know if y'all ever seen the movie Get Out, and the lady be like, no, 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 no. That's how I felt. Like, I'm just like, no, no, like, this shit is not fucking real. And I just started screaming and crying. And I broke down, and I literally could not move my legs, and my cousin had to come get me. I don't even know where the fuck he came from, because he wasn't even, I mean, I didn't even know he was there, but he was there, and he came, and he had to basically get me and move me and, like, tell me it was okay and pull me together and get me past. But, like, the closer I would get to him, the more weak I would get, and he basically had to, like, carry me out. And it was kind of hard for me because my granddaddy was there. And I kind of felt like, damn, like, why my granddaddy didn't come? Like, why he didn't come help me? I know he just seen me show my ass. But that's neither here nor there. But it was hard for me because up into it was like I didn't want to face that it was real. And he looked so good. Like, and I don't say so good, like, oh, he was fine as hell, but he really looked at peace. And for me, this might sound crazy to some of y'all, but knowing someone that's felt suicidal, that's been depressed, I was thankful. I was proud of him, because I was just kind of on some, like, you know what, I have to be strong for you, because if you could allow life to naturally be your cause of death, I can too, you know, like, I can be strong. I can push it out. Yeah. But I didn't want to accept it. And so that's why I was kind of like, I was weak and I didn't want to go any further, because I kind of felt like if I stayed where I was, he would stay in this life. He would stay in this world. But then when I got past him and my cousin got me out the church, got me into the parking lot, I wanted to go back, because I'm just like, nope. Mm-mm. Because I felt like, once I got out of church, it was like, oh, it's done. He's dead. Like, and that's so hard for me to say. Like, and yeah, I don't want to talk about that no more. So, that was really hard for me. And the months after that was hard. I began to feel better, but something would happen. I'd be like, oh, let me call him. And I would have to remember that he wasn't alive anymore. And I think the reason why that was tough for me is because literally we would go spurs of time without talking. So in my head, it'd be like, we're just not talking because we're not talking, not because we literally cannot talk. And the whole situation itself changed me, because it made me really look at how I treated people. And like, I know they always say, like, you know, life is short, but that right there made me really view my relationships differently. Like, I can't argue with my boyfriend. I can't argue with my boyfriend and go to sleep mad at that nigga. I can't go to sleep mad at that nigga, but that nigga know I love him. I'm telling him I love him at the end of the day. I can't hold on to stuff for too long. I can't beat a nigga up over the same shit. Like, I can't. I have to tell people I love them now. I mean, if I'm in like a relationship with you, like, I have to tell you I love you. I want to tell you I love you all the time. And that's never been something that I've been really big on. But like, it literally changed that. And it also put some fear in me, because although I know anyone can die, anyone can be killed, you can be here today, gone tomorrow, for me to experience that
just kind of had me just like, I cannot deal with sorry. It just had me like, I cannot deal with another death of someone that I was in a relationship with. Like, I can't take that. And although our relationship was very different, and I didn't realize how much weight it held until he passed, it made me be like, well, I'd be damned if I lose someone that I'm with now. Like, I'm not gonna be, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to withstand that. And so, when I finally got back into therapy, that was what started to help me cope. But besides that, I didn't feel like I had the support I needed to cope. Besides my little sister, and some of my friends. But I didn't know how to tell my friends how to be there for me. Yeah, I didn't know how to tell some of my friends how to be there for me. I didn't know how to get their support. And it never really made much sense to them, because it's like, most of my friends, except for my best friend, but most of my friends didn't know who he was. And so it was like, how the hell you mourning, or how you so hurt over someone like that? I didn't even know that y'all dated or anything like that. Like, I'm confused. So it's kind of hard for me to explain it. And I just felt like, I don't owe anything to anybody to let anybody know what our relationship was. It was what it was. But besides that, I didn't feel like I had the support I needed, besides my little sister, to cope. So then when I got into therapy and it came up, I'll never forget, I've always said my whole life, but I've never been in love before. Ooh, now today, whole nother story. Bitch be in love, though. She do be being in love. But I've always said that. And so I'll never forget the day I was in therapy, which I think I've said this in another podcast. But today I was in therapy and I was talking about him, and I was just explaining how our relationship was so different. And I was just like, I don't understand it, because we were young, you know, we were young, so full of life, but so hateful and so mean and all of this. And I was just like, I just love him, and I just love him different or whatever. And I was like, you know, I told her, I said, I need to promise to myself that I would not ever get into another relationship unless they love me equally or more than he did. And she was like, that's big. And I said, yeah. I said, so for that reason, like, I can talk to people. We can talk all day. We can date. But I'm not going to be your girlfriend unless I know that for a fact. And at that time, I was just getting out of a situationship, which I would not allow him to be my boyfriend. And she was just like, wow, like, that's strong. That's a lot of love. Like, that speaks measure to y'all relationship. And I said, yeah, I said, I don't know. Like, he just loved me differently and I loved him differently. Like, it was a different type of love, something that I've kind of never felt before. And I had told her, I say, even down to my last relationship that I had, I really loved him. I was like, and I love him a lot. I was like, I really loved him a lot, but I just didn't love them the same. And I say, you know, I feel like with my last relationship, I might have been a little more in lust or whatever. I said, but I don't necessarily know that I was in love at that time. And I was just like, but my relationship with the person that I lost, I said, it was just different. I said, it's just a different type of love. And then she was just shaking her head. And I literally paused, like I had a vision, like that's so Raven. And then I said, oh my gosh. And she said, what? And I said, I was in love with him. And like, it was a pause just like that. Like, even me saying it now was just like, what the hell? Ew. But she said, I wasn't going to say it. And that day, like, kind of changed a lot, because I just started looking at shit differently. Because I'm like, what the hell? What? Like, I was in love with him. Huh? Like, that shit is still crazy to me. Like, how was I in love with him? I don't know. It's crazy. But I was. And I think for me, I just had it so caught up on being young. Like, oh, young love. How you gonna be in love with a nigga and you this years old? Yada, yada, yada. So because of that, I wasn't able to accept it for what it was or what it is. But I was in love with that nigga. And so, earlier this year, I got a tribute tat to him, And I remember when I got it, because I was like, damn, I don't know how my next boyfriend would feel about this. But I was like, I honestly don't give a fuck. Like, if you can't accept this shit too much for you, you're not the nigga for me anyways. But I got a tribute tat because he had written me this letter. It's the only thing I have from him. And I still have it because I keep everything in general. It takes me a long time to let go of shit that people have given me. But I had this letter from him, and in that letter, at the end, child, y'all, I don't even know what the fuck the tattoo says right now. I'm drawing a blank. I think it says, maybe this way is better. I think so. I think that's what it says. I can figure out what it says. Hold on, let me see here. But I'm pretty sure that's what it says. But I decided that that was going to be my way of like letting go. And like I have said before, letting go is so hard for me because it just gives a negative connotation. Like, I'm just going to forget this person and I'm just done with them forever. Like, regardless if they're dead or not, I just like, I never want that to be the case. But no, I deserve to move on. I deserve to have peace. I deserve to not continue to just mourn and mourn and mourn. And so that was my way of doing it. And for me, it was very prevalent because I felt like that stuck out so much. The tattoo says, but maybe this way is better. And it's so weird because it has like a big gap between but and maybe, but I got it in his handwriting and everything. But it stuck out to me because it was just like, you know what, like, life is life, things happen, and you can't change the way they happen. Maybe this way is better. Like, maybe this is the way things were supposed to be. Let go of what you thought it would be. Let go of blaming yourself. It's okay. Maybe this is what it should be. Or whatever. And so that's what I did to honor him. And all in all, I hope y'all enjoyed this piece of my vulnerability. From recording this shit, I realized coronavirus need to leave so I can go back in office. Although my therapists have opened, you can go back in office right now. It's probably about to change when the phases change, but you can go back in office just on select days. But I need to finish grievance therapy, and I chose not to do it remote because it's just really draining. But excuse me, I don't think I've let go of fully forgiving myself, so I think that's something that I need to do. But excuse me if y'all can hear me burping, but I'm not editing that shit out. All in all, my piece of advice, my last thing that I want to say is be careful how you treat people. Every decision that you make, especially if it's a long-term decision, ask yourself, if anything was to happen, would you be okay with that shit? And lastly, but not least, tell your folks you love them. Listen, listen, listen. Nah, seriously. Thank you for listening to Thou Must Cope. But I'm gonna need you to do a little something. Subscribe, follow, whatever the hell, so you will not miss another episode. And then also give me your feedback. You know how you go to the grocery store, you go to get fast food, and they be like, please do the survey. Okay, no, I've become that woman. Rate me. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can rate me at, go ahead, rate the podcast, leave a comment, shit, do something. And also, if you go to anchor.fm/thou must cope, you can also send me a voice memo. Give me some feedback, and I promise I'll add it to one of the episodes. Peace.